No encryption in this telephone conversation. Somebody intercepted it. And number two, it was put on YouTube. Oh, when was it put on YouTube? On the 4th of February, 2014. Oh, 4th of February. Well, you said the coup was the 22nd, but that was blown. Yeah, it was blown. When I heard that thing on YouTube, I said, well, poor Yatsenyuk, he'll never be prime minister of Ukraine. And, my God, Victoria Nuland using that language? F the EU? One reason we know it's authentic is because Nuland apologized 2 days later, not for the coup, but for saying F the EU. Okay, so long story short, 18 days before the coup, it was advertised on YouTube. Now, what happened? Well, the coup plotters were able to dislodge those people who were loyal to the government. I guess Putin thought the same thing I did. The coup is blown. Too bad for Yatsenyuk. I can stay in Sochi and finish up these Winter Olympics. They didn't come back until the day later, the 23rd of February 2014. Now, what did he do? Oh my God. The new prime minister of Ukraine said that he'd like Ukraine to join, guess what? Join NATO. He'd like to ban Russian as an official language in Ukraine. He said this right away. So Putin's with his advisors there, his military advisors, go, what can you do about this? Can we countenance a Ukraine in NATO? And the answer was, niet, 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 niet. Okay. Then the people in the Russian-speaking provinces of Donetsk and Lugansk in the east part of Ukraine, they didn't want any part of the coup government banning Russian as an official language and all kinds of other indignities that the people there in the coup regime were doing on pro-Russians and Russians. So they decided that they would resist the encroachment of the coup regime. And so they declared their independence. I'm glad you mentioned the Minsk protocols because we're talking 2014, February. What happened was the Ukrainian army geared itself up and went out to take back Donetsk and Lugansk. They were fought to a standstill. It was really, really bloody. Most of those 14,000 people killed were killed then. And people with more sense said, well, let's stop this. And the Germans and the French and the Polish at the time put the strong arm around the Ukrainian sides and said, look, stop the fighting. We'll have a ceasefire and then we'll talk. And part of the deal will be that Donetsk and Lugansk will have a measure of autonomy within the Ukrainian state, but that will be written into the constitution. Now, that never happened. Zelensky had said it was going to happen, but he was not allowed to let it happen if indeed he wanted it to happen. Not allowed by the neo-Nazis, not allowed, I suspect, by the United States. So the Minsk Accords, as much as they tried to tamped down the situation and were endorsed at the highest level of the United Nations, mind you. They never were implemented. The fly in the ointment was Ukraine. The motivation was clear. They didn't want any part of that. And that's the background to all this. And it was when Minsk really sort of fell apart, when Putin decided, well, we need to finish this thing off. It's not going to be very legal, but we're going to do it. Last thing I'll say on that, it's not very legal. There are some folks that say, well, you could explain it. Certainly, it's as legal as some of the things the US did. The other adjective used was unprovoked. It was provoked. The Russian invasion of Ukraine was provoked. Putin, in my view, is looking out for the national security of his country, does not want to be threatened in the same way that the US felt threatened during the Cuban Missile Crisis. Think about it. Soviet missiles right up there next to Florida. That was an existential threat to us. We faced Khrushchev down. we were able to work out a deal where we moved some missiles from Turkey, but we had the sense to avoid the worst. Now, what does Biden have? My God, it sends sweat up. If you're talking, they
will hear you. We all want our kids to grow up safe and healthy, so we show them how, and we tell them with honest conversations that let them know what we expect. Not just one time, but every chance we get. That's especially important when it comes to alcohol and other drugs. Kids not only need to know the dangers and how to avoid them, they need to hear it often from you. And when it comes to pain medications, opioids, they need to know that they should never be taken without a prescription and never shared with friends or family. It's dangerous and illegal. So talk with your kids and guide them through the challenges of growing up safe and healthy. Because when you talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. So talk, they hear you.
You can do it if you try. Hi, this is Kenny.
And Amanda Smith from Nashville, Tennessee.
Keep it right here on WRCT Pittsburgh.
It's dark in here, and the walls are closing in. I struck my last match. Let it burn down till it bit my fingertips. And I remember the light, just a flash and then an ember. And a whisper of smoke curling up into the air. Disappearing. It's dark in here, and the air is getting thin. My canary sang his last song, a pretty little tune. It echoes on and on and on inside my ear. It was a song of hope. It was a song of redemption. And that little yellow bird, with his last dying word, he sang forgiveness. And I'm sorry that I spent our time hiding underground, but something always pulls me down. This familiar, deep, dark cavern, keep repeating the same pattern. You above and me below, I say goodbye before I go with my last breath. Last I see the light.
Thank you. Me and for you. Can see La Frontera from where I stand in line at El Comador. Just over that wall is a promised land hidden line at El Comador. It's a long, long way from my home to here. I was driven by hope and by fear. I prayed to the Madre to hold back my tears in line at El Comador. I hold you and feed you here in my arms in line at El Comador. If I can stay strong, I'll keep you from harm in line at El Comador. We walk and we wait, we run and we ride, in daytime we rest and we hide. Now Coyote tells me be ready tonight in line at El so hungry just 3 days ago in line at El Comador. We stand with our brothers we met on the road in line at El Comador. Sister Cecilia welcomes us in. She leads us in prayer to begin. If we don't move tonight, she'll feed us again in line at El Small as I am, at night at El Comador. She draws out the trail on the palm of my hand, at night at El Comador. She says the new moon would help me to see, marks places where water will be. She tells me her friends will watch out for me, at night at El Comador. I can see La Frontera from where I stand, hidden line at El Comador. Just over that wall is a promised land, hidden line at El
without thinking, I stood up and said, I'll take them, like so many of my neighbors had before. I had no money, had no plan, but I had room and I had land, and I just could not do nothing anymore. In la chambre solignon, it's what we do, and for 400 years it's been the same. From the violence and fear, we Huguenots came here, seeking refuge on this isolated plain. Oh, the first came from the Spanish Civil War, and when the Nazis and the Vichy came to power, not a moment left to lose. We took in France's Jews, hit them in our nation's darkest hour. We hid them in our homes and in our farms, and our children sat in classrooms side by side. Amidst all the threats and danger, no one was a stranger. 7 years we resisted and defied. And when asked, why did we do it? What can we answer? Not so long ago we sought refuge too. And it's easy to decide, with the gospel as your guide, to our history and our faith we must be true. In la chambre solignon, it's what we do.
What I know now, if we really came to do How about Mark Lethierry on the guitar? That's Bobby Sparks and Sean Martin over there on the keyboards. Okay.
WRCT Pittsburgh. No one is as excited about Flaming Cheese as we are. If you're talking, they
will hear you. We all want our kids to grow up safe and healthy. So we show them how. And we tell them. With honest conversations that let them know what we expect. Not just one time, but every chance we get. That's especially important when it comes to alcohol and other drugs. Kids not only need to know the dangers and how to avoid them, they need to hear it often from you. And when it comes to pain medications, opioids, they need to know that they should never be taken without a prescription and never shared with friends or family. It's dangerous and illegal. So talk with your kids and guide them through the challenges of growing up safe and healthy. Because when you talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. So talk.
Hi, this is Kenny.
And Amanda Smith from Nashville, Tennessee.
Keep it right here on WRCT Pittsburgh.
It's dark in here. And the walls are closing in. I struck my last match, let it burn down till it bit my fingertips. And I remember the light, just a flash and then an ember. And a whisper of smoke curling up into the air and disappearing. It's dark in here, and the air is getting thin. My canary sang his last song, a pretty little tune. Echoes on and on and on inside my ear. It was a song of hope. It was a song of redemption. And that little yellow bird, with his last dying word, he sang forgiveness. And I'm sorry that I spent our time hiding underground. But something always pulls me down. This familiar, deep, dark cavern, keep repeating the same pattern. You above and me below, I say goodbye before I go with my last breath. Last I see the light.
Thank you. to search anywhere. Happiness is here. Have your share.
I can see La Frontera from where I stand in line at El Comador. Just over that wall is a promised land hidden line at El Comador. It's a long, long way from my home to here. I was driven by hope and by fear. I pray to the Madre to hold back my tears in line at El Comador. I hold you and feed you here in my arms in line at El Comador. If I can stay strong, I'll keep you from harm in line at El Comador. We walk and we wait, we run and we ride, in daytime we rest and we hide. Now coyote tells me be ready tonight in line at El so hungry just 3 days ago in line at El Comador. We stand with our brothers we met on the road in line at El Comador. Sister Cecilia, well, send prayer to begin. If we don't move tonight, she'll feed us again and light it up. Small as I am, midnighted El Comedor. She draws out the trail on the palm of my hand, midnighted El Comedor. She says the new moon would help me to see, marks places where water will be. She tells me her friends will watch out for me, midnighted El Comedor. I can see La Frontera from where I stand, heading light at El Comedor. Just over that wall is the promised land, heading light at El
thinking. I stood up and said, I'll take them, like so many of my neighbors had before. I had no money, had no plan, but I had room and I had land, and I just could not do nothing anymore. In la chambre solennelle, it's what we do. And for 400 years it's been the same. From the violence and fear, we Huguenots came here, seeking refuge on this isolated plain. Oh, the first came from the Spanish Civil War, when the Nazis and the Vichy came to power. Not a moment left to lose. We took in France's Jews and hid them in our nation's darkest hour. Hid them in our homes and in our farms, and our children sat in classrooms side by side. Amidst all the threats and danger, no one was a stranger. 7 years we resisted and defied. And when asked, why did we do it? What can we answer? Not so long ago we sought refuge too. And it's easy to decide, with the gospel as your guide, our history and our faith we must be true. In la chambre solennelle, it's what we do.
Show me what you're made of. Tell me that we tried it all and came to this retreat. Say love, maybe what we gave up wasn't ours to spin around and wasn't ours to keep. But every time you say my name and lose my bearings, and I wouldn't dare to ask. Bargains turn to hard lines. Words go off like landmines and tear the earth apart. So we paid up, bet the rest to break us. Oh, what a way to wake up, reeling from the start.
Thank you so much. How about Margaret Siri on the guitar? That's Bobby Sparks and Sean Martin over there on keyboards. Okay.
WRCT Pittsburgh. No one is as excited about Flaming Cheese as we are.
CT Pittsburgh, meaty and full of flavor since 1949.
Before we get started, I'd like to remind you that the views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this show are solely those of individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of WRCT Pittsburgh and its members.
Well, my friends, if you're hearing this message, and it is a special message, it is because we are at the start of my paternity leave. Yes, it's been... I mean, it feels like it's been 3 years of pregnancy for my fiance, but I'm told it's been like 9.5 months. But I'm telling you, it's been like 3 years in my head. That phase is coming to an end, and I am going to be taking a little bit of time off. If you want to follow the news and adventure, at some point I will post something to my social media. But who knows what it's going to be like on the other side. So we've got some great themed episodes coming up for you. We've got a lot of different things planned. The news will continue and we will be here with you in one form or another. And then eventually I'm going to be back. It's quite exciting times, 2022, all of these incredible things. And I will be back with everybody. So keep an eye on my social media. Exciting times. Enjoy this next episode. The 2022 midterms are upcoming, and today we take a deep dive into the candidates, what's at stake, what happens after the midterms, and what to expect between now and November of this year. One of the things I try to avoid on this show is to be hyperbolic. And when people are going crazy about something and it's really no big deal, I try to just say, this is really not that big of a deal. Let's talk about it, but let's talk about it in sort of sober and reasonable terms. But that is very much not the case when it comes to the peril that is on the horizon. If Republicans were to win the 2022 midterm elections in what are just a few months now, quite frankly. And when I say democracy is in jeopardy if Republicans take the House in 2022, I say it with the caveat that this is not a hyperbolic claim. And increasingly, I mean, the bad thing is that democracy is in peril if Republicans win. The good thing is increasingly people are understanding this peril and this risk. Republicans and Democrats, who are so similar on so many issues, we've talked about it before. Here's a whole bunch of issues on which there's really no significant difference between Republicans and Democrats. How could it be that if Republicans take one chamber of Congress, it would have such a major impact? And the answer is that it is because of the destructive potential that the series of events that could be unleashed by Republicans taking control of the House is so significant that it could be the catalyst for a disaster for democracy. And let's just think it through. First, we know that Republicans see their 2020 failure as a failure to steal the election. What I mean by that is when you hear Republicans talk about 2020, most of them, I mean, okay, Mitt Romney's the exception. Liz Cheney's the exception. But for the most part, when you hear Trump, people associated with the Trump White House, the more weaponized Republicans in the House and Senate, when they talk about what happened in 2020, their view is we just didn't do enough to take the election from the guy who won it. They don't think, you know, next time we should really win by appealing to more voters and getting more people to vote for us. That would be the normal reaction. That would be the pro-democracy reaction. Not enough. We didn't convince enough people. Let's be better at convincing people to vote for us. No, they think we can win next time by better working to take the election even when we don't win it, using different techniques or being better with the techniques that we used in 2022, but we just didn't do enough of. So with a midterm 2022 win, they would be far better to carry out that upending of democracy in 2024. That's a very dangerous thing. Secondly, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Matt Gaetz, and others in that cohort have said, if we win in 2022, we're going to investigate Joe Biden. We're going to investigate Hunter Biden, who has nothing to do with the administration. We will end the January 6th committee if it's still going on. We will